We'll begin this morning in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we'll read verses 25 to 34. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." I'd like to, for us to go through this portion of Scripture this morning, just point out a few things, what's going on here, and then take a few lessons from it this morning. First thing we see is Jesus. He is the spotlight of what is going on right before this passage. Right before the spotlight turns to the woman, the picture is on Jesus. And Jesus has great crowds pressing in upon him. He's got a ruler of the synagogue pleading with him to come and heal his daughter. And his daughter is dying, so it's a pressing need. And everything about that situation would call the Lord Jesus to attend to this man. Everybody is looking to him. He's got a very important person that, if he would be turned to the Lord Jesus, could really influence the Jews for him. We see him following them along and willing to heal his daughter, and then the spotlight turns to the woman. In verse 25, we see these words, "And there was a woman." Now, already, that is something. In the culture of this day, women were belittled. They were despised. They were treated as second-class citizens at best. Not only is this a woman, but this woman, she has an issue of blood. This makes her ceremonially unclean. So for Jesus to tend to this woman, for Jesus to touch this woman, would make him unclean. So everything about this situation, even up to this point, you would think would propel Jesus to go on. It says here that she had suffered much at the hands of many physicians. Verse 26. This is a woman that is downcast. This is a woman that is depressed. This is a woman that is in great need. We go on to see that she had spent all of her estate on these so-called physicians. And so we've got a woman that has no money. If you've ever been in a downtown setting and you've seen women that are in need like this, what is our natural inclination? Well, it's to inwardly despise. It's hideous. But I want us to look at what induced her to come. See in verse 27 that she had heard the reports about Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. Jesus at this point had healed people. Jesus at this point had had mercy on many. And because of what she heard about Jesus, she comes. And we see that the Spirit of God had convinced her that He could heal her. And I ask you, is that faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God, especially the Word of Christ. And faith, if it's God-given faith, is the inner conviction that He can do it. And we come. That's what this woman does. I want us to look at how she came. Well, she came, as it says in 27b, she came up behind him in the crowd. She comes modestly. She comes not wanting to be noticed. And what does she do? Well, she touches his garment. And in Luke's account, it says that she touches the hem of his garment. And after touching him, he feels the power go out of him. And then he makes her own her faith in front of many. She comes trembling. She comes confessing. It's at this point I think we can learn several things. Those who are saved are spiritually unpresentable and even detestable to everyone but God. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. He came for the spiritually filthy. He came for those who could not be healed by anyone else. Something to note here is she touched him. He didn't touch her. Matthew Poole writes that the Lord Jesus had all virtue in him. All of the healing that was needed for her disease was in Jesus. And she touched him. And just coming into contact with the virtue that was in Jesus, she was dried up. Something to note here is her faith was not perfect. It only took hold of a small piece of Jesus. And upon being discovered, she comes to Jesus trembling, showing us that she was more interested in the gift than she was the giver. And also that she thought Christ's forgiveness towards her was more of an obligation on his part than a genuine interest of his. I think if we were to be honest, there are probably some here this morning that may be like this woman. I think there might be some of us here who wonder, was my faith right in the beginning when I first professed the Lord? Was it really right? And if it wasn't right then, when was it right? And is it even right now? But you see, beloved, Christ saved sinners by faith in Him, but it's not a perfect faith. And nobody in this room has a perfect faith in Jesus. Nobody in this room completely looks at Jesus all of the time. And if we were to be very honest, we are many times like Peter, taking our eyes off of the Master and looking within. Nobody has a perfect faith in Jesus. But when Jesus is describing salvation in John 3, he compares himself to the bronze serpent that was raised up in the wilderness. Beloved, that bronze serpent was raised up for Israelites who were filled with poison. Poison that was destroying them, killing them from within. And one look to that brazen serpent and they were healed. The Christian life begins with a look to Jesus. Though very weak, a look to Jesus is saving faith. When we are driven outside of ourselves and we look up in desperation and we just touch maybe just a passing hem of His garment, beloved, that's saving faith. Now, faith will keep looking. Faith will keep grasping. But that's the beginning. Some of us may wonder, if we didn't come from a rich evangelical Calvinist background like others, did we know enough about God to even be saved? I submit to you, she takes a small piece of Jesus. Maybe we didn't grow up with heavy teaching on the doctrine of God. Maybe we didn't know Jesus in His fullness, but I submit to you, if you looked to Him as Savior being weighed down in your sins and looking away, that's saving faith. Her faith wasn't pure. She comes more interested in the gift than the giver. But she's delivered anyway. And I'd ask you if there was anybody in this room who had a pure faith when they came to Jesus. I think if we were honest, it probably sounded like this. I'm damned, I'm condemned, I'm going to hell. Save me. We weren't coming to Jesus necessarily because He was precious. We learned that afterwards. But we came to Jesus because we were in need. And He met that need if we looked to Him. And she learns this afterwards She comes trembling. And doesn't the believer come trembling after grace? Even though we've been declared righteous in the sight of God through faith in Him, we come trembling like He's still angry. But I submit to you, beloved, the believer in Jesus has no wrath on him anymore. You believe that? Does the scripture say that he is the propitiation of God, the full satisfaction of God's wrath in Jesus? And if I'm engrafted into him by faith, by simple trust in Jesus, I'm forever safe from the wrath of God. Never an angry look, beloved, from him again. Sometimes children mistake the discipline of their father and mother as anger. Sometimes we may sin in discipline. But our Father doesn't sin in discipline. He's a perfect Father. And behind every disciplined look is love. And there's no anger for the soul that's in Jesus. And so when we partake of the cup this morning, when we partake of the bread, I want us to look to Him who satisfied the full wrath of God on our behalf.